Radio.
Welcome to Real Sports Guys Radio, where real guys talk real sports. And I guess I want to start by saying, parlez-vous français? Because the French are straight clowning. We go kick it off. You know how we do it. If you want to call in, hit us up at 347-989-0844. That's 347-989-0844. Join us around the table, talk about whatever comes to your mind. But we're going to start with the World Cup. You know, we always got to go to the post, our go-to man, Marcus. But let's start with the French. What's going on with the French, folks?
Man, you know, I really have no clue. I mean, this is, you know, I'm not deep into soccer like I am in other sports. But just this has been interesting to watch play out. I mean, it's the French. Like, you really don't know what you're going to get with these cats. I mean, one minute you got them sending their best player, telling them to get on the plane and go back to France, you know, and then you got the team walking off on a coach. And, I mean, all of this around really, in my opinion, the only soccer event that matters. You know what I mean?
Right.
This is like if the week before the Super Bowl, you know, you got the Colts, you know, walking out on a – when they coach out there, you know, they walking out on him. You know, Peyton Manning talking about go back to Tennessee or go back to Louisiana. You ain't got to be around here no more. I mean, that's kind of what this situation amounts to for them. I mean, like, these – and honestly, like, you wouldn't see none of them Algerians. You wouldn't see no Brazilians. You wouldn't see no Argentinians or no Uruguay cats acting like this because – they get hands put on them when they get back to the motherland. When they get back to the homeland, they gonna get hands put on them. Cause you can't mess around with soccer in some of these countries, man.
I don't understand it. And, you know, and everybody always trying to talk about the sophistication of soccer and this and that. And the French we're above that. And to have that breakdown when this is the most important event in soccer. You spend so much time trying to get here, and to just give it away the way they gave it away is just says so much. You know, you think about how much, you know, the American athletes, you know, get when people talk about behavior and stuff like that. But, you know, when it comes to it, most guys come to play. You know, if you know, we'll talk about a number of cats over this next hour, and they'll be complaining and everything else. But when it's time to put them on, they don't come play. You're not going to hear a lot of that craziness. So, That was just crazy to hear French just melt down like that, and that is too much for me.
I think too that, you know, they tried to send a message to the coach, you know, and missing a practice isn't that big of a deal. I mean, at that level, by the time you get to that level, you know, the day of rest may have been just as beneficial as a day of practice. The next game they came on late in eggs, they got beat. Now they're just going home. So that their story, you know, is literally over, and you know, this team, I don't even have a team to compare it to or to put up there next to them. You know, they have to go back home, and they have to walk these streets, and you don't know what's going to happen. That's it. that's the weird side of soccer is that they have some of the most dangerous fans in the world. They come to, it's kind of a street fight. They remind me of, they're almost gang-like the way that they follow their team. So I wouldn't want to be French, a French soccer player.
You'll know who's going to get you when you walk in the street.
Yeah, because for a lot of these countries, how well they do in the World Cup is a real source of national pride. And to have your team just go out and go out gutless and heartless and, total chaos and disarray. Think about it like this. If that had been the U.S. team, the world would be eating that up.
That's right.
You know, the spoiled Americans, the spoiled Americans, that. They think they this, they think they that. They don't want to go out and play hard, yada, yada, yada. I mean, actually, it would have been interesting if it would have been a U.S. team because I think the stories would have been all over the place. The stories would have really been all over the place if the U.S. team had behaved in that way.
They have soccer and they have bike racing. What else do they have?
They got Tony Parker.
Okay.
Well, we the U.S. team is playing out was Algeria. Algeria. So it's going to be. Now are they in contention? They win, or are they going to need some other things to happen? Anybody know that? I know we're stretching our soccer, real guys in soccer. We're not hitting it. Even though I blogged about it,
I think they have to win. I think they have to win.
They have to win,
and then they freeze out England, which, now I don't know if I want to be a U.S. player walking the streets anywhere because. English, they tear down stadiums and stuff.
And ain't too many folks from the U.S. traveling to see no soccer, so they outnumber.
Right. At least they're in a neutral country. South Africa is already out, which apparently, that's the first time in,
Yeah, that's the first time this happened.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of sucks,
Yeah.
I'd like to see them hang in there and be able to represent for the host country.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to win.
You got to win. That's it. And they said that they're pretty avid soccer fans and that they'll stay engaged. So, that'll say a lot about the country, and continue to love and blow that weird horn. Because the horn is just killing. They had the stuff at the Tampa, was at the Florida Marlins game.
Yeah.
What's that?
I was thinking about getting close with my kids. Every time they start acting up, I'm going to blow that horn.
Oh, yeah.
Cut it out. That thing is annoying. At first I was like, man, did they pass out a bunch of kazoos before
that's
the game?
That's what I thought, yeah.
They got birthday noisemakers.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing we should talk about is why soccer is popular here,
Mm-hmm.
And what would the U.S. team look like if most of these high school athletes that, are playing football and basketball decided to play soccer. This is one sport that we can't dominate.
Yeah.
We don't go on a world world level with soccer.
Yeah.
Well,
it's just a matter of time before we do,
But you got to get into the hood. I mean, most of these places around the world, it's the folks that's coming from the hoods.
Right.
And we don't get into the hoods. When we do this,
soccer is really a suburban. In my experience, it's a very suburban, middle class sport. A lot like tennis. I wouldn't call it a country club sport, but it is. I think there is a distinct class of young person that gets into soccer, a family that gets into soccer. My kids ain't playing soccer. It's just not happening.
See that right there? You're breaking the gene. There's a possibility right there.
There you go. It's that athleticism, I think, that the U.S. team lacks. Our young men play football.
Yeah.
Not football like they call it in France, but football like we call it here.
Yeah.
And I would love to see, you have to wonder, what a a Reggie Bush would look like as a soccer player.
Yeah, or Peyton Manning or somebody that, you know, that size. Or even a LeBron James or somebody, or Kobe playing soccer, you know.
But Kobe played soccer coming up, you know, and I guess he loved soccer. Kobe played soccer coming up, you know, growing up in Europe, you know.
Yeah.
So you see the footwork.
That's really what it boils down to. I think here it's not it has nothing to do with soccer as a game, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, even watching the cup, you know, it's been actually this is the first time I've really paid attention to it, and it's been interesting. Like, I'm learning a little bit about it as I watch.
Right.
And it's actually been interesting to watch the strategy and you know, being with basketball being kind of my general orientation to sports, like, there are a lot of elements, there are a lot of similarities between the sports as far as passing.
Yep.
And, you know, it is a fun sport to watch when you get just start to watch the flow of the ball, and then you're trying to anticipate where it's going to go next, and how they're going to set up the goal, how they're going to set up the shot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really interesting to watch. So I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with the sport itself. I just think football, for one, football is the king, boss, gangster sport in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got basketball and baseball and even hockey in northern states, and in the southern states, track.
Yeah,
you
right.
know, where our athletes get channeled in, our probably our best athletes get channeled in other directions.
Sure, and you wonder, you know, you watch some of these elite soccer players, and, you know, they're 6'3", 6'4", 210 pounds, you know. And, you know, they don't match up physically with running backs on most, you know, college teams. I mean, maybe a little bit taller, but if we were to put out some of the, you know, the speed that we have in this country, you know, you wonder what a soccer team could really look like.
Yeah, and I think part of the rollout is you got to get in the cities, and I always say you got to help kids think with the end in mind. Even before you start taking the game, you got to grab a group of kids and take them to, like, Europe and places and have them watch the atmosphere. If you think about it from an earning standpoint, you know, soccer is the kind of game, you know, in terms of the number of leagues they have in the world where you can make a decent income, you know, and how, you know, people pay your home and stuff like that. You know, you can make $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, have them take care of your home and travel at some of the lower leagues, from my understanding. So, you know, in terms of opportunity to have access, if you're a decent soccer player, you know, it's there, but you got to help kids think with the end in mind. They got to see it, see the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, you know, like when I grew up in Ann Arbor, being in the big house, you like, oh, this is it. You know, this is it. You know, you got to get in that mix, and then you can go back and start talking about playing the game. But early in it, you got to get kids seeing what the end is like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, well, you know, we beat the soccer bug. We've done our salute to soccer, y'all. So
might blow one of the
don't say we ain't no equal opportunity brothers. We're trying to get this thing right. But move it a little bit along. There's a lot of other stuff happening in the sports world. I know we had a number of issues that we wanted to put out here in addition to talking about what was happening in soccer. You know, Steve Smith got hurt playing at the Y. Was he playing flag football? His cousin kicked him in the leg. I don't broke his arm. Where do y'all want to go with it? We got free agency coming up here pretty soon, here in a couple weeks. We got a lot of good stuff happening in baseball. So where do y'all want to go with it?
Let's talk about Steve Smith for a minute. What mindset do you have to be in to, you know, to be, you know, back home, unless it's a charity event, unless it's, you know, you're doing something for a cause, you know, what is he doing playing football of any kind on any level to the point where, you know, he get his arm broken again?
I think, but, you know, regardless of the money, people are competitors, and Steve Smith is a competitor. It's like Michael Jordan having it in his day to be able to go play up at pickup games. You know, if Steve Smith is an ultimate competitor, if you get home and get around your boys and get around people you know, you forget you a million-dollar athlete playing for Carolina. You're like, okay, Joe, you know, I did this to you in seventh grade. I'm going to have to do it again to you. You know, sometimes the athlete is the athlete, no matter where they are, which is not the right thing. But I suspect as competitive as he is, somebody got his juices going.
Yeah, and I think that's what it boils down to. I mean, y'all talking about a guy who punched a teammate in the face, you know what I mean, over some jawing during training camp.
That's right.
You know, and this is a little guy, so he's probably always had a bit of a chip on his shoulder. So I'm sure he was probably talked into the whole situation by somebody who was yapping, saying that they could cover him or whatever and whatnot. And so, you know, like D was saying, it's that competitiveness in an athlete that you admire, but at the same time, it can be a bit of a kryptonite for some of these cats because they don't know how to turn it off.
Come on out here, Steve. I'll break your arm. You know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I wouldn't have flunked out in eighth grade, I'd be playing pro football, you know. I wouldn't be going out there, you know. I just wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I mean,
right,
it's on him
right
to have that restraint, but he's displayed that he don't got that restraint sometimes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, it's definitely on him.
You know, but what are the repercussions going to be? I mean, would you be angered at the Panthers for going after some of their money? You know? I mean,
if he misses games,
sure.
I don't know how long he's going to be out for, but if he's going to miss a week or two of training camp, whoopee-doo.
Right.
I mean, this is an 8-9-year vet.
Right.
You know? His legs work, so he can stay in shape.
And it's not much different. To me, it's not much different than Ben Roethlisberger on a motorcycle or Cullen Winslow on a motorcycle. You know, what were you thinking?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
you've got an NFL career. Your career is already short. What are you thinking, you know, getting out there and doing some of these dangerous things? So, I mean, but I think that's part of that, you know, they're athletes. They don't think it's going to happen to them, and so they go out and do what they want to do. But there has to be some repercussions. There has to be something, you know, for these teams to recoup some of these, you know, monies that they're bound to lose because these guys aren't on the field.
Mm-hmm. As we're looking for this, you know, getting ready for the NFL season, you know, who's piquing your interest? You know, who are you excited to see more from in terms of a team?
For me, I think San Francisco has done some real good things this offseason.
Yeah, sure.
I really like what they did in the draft. I'm really excited to see Singletary succeed. I think they're going to have a big year. I think out west in the NFC, Arizona is going to be not what they were because I have no faith in Matt Leinart. You know, I called it from the day he was drafted that he was going to be a bust simply because, any competitive athlete, Matt Leinart should have left after his junior year.
Mm-hmm.
If he didn't
right.
leave after his junior year, it told me that football and being a great football player wasn't of a great concern to him.
Mm-hmm.
He was more into the lifestyle of being in L.A. and being a big man on campus at USC.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, like, if you're the number one pick, you go. You know what I mean? If you have any opportunity to be the number one pick, you go. It don't get no better than that. Even, it's one of those situations where if a player doesn't make that decision, I question his intelligence.
Yeah.
And I question his motive, his love for what he's doing. If you got an opportunity, especially in the NFL, with no rookie wage scale, come
mm-hmm.
on, man. If you gonna be, if you can be the number one pick at the quarterback position, you are going to be one of the top five paid quarterbacks at that in the league your rookie year.
Right.
So why would you not take that and run? What's great? What's so great on a college campus that it trumps $40-some million that you can recreate in your backyard if you wanted to with $40 million?
Yeah,
so at that point, I was sold on the fact that he wasn't trying to be a real football player. And I think Arizona's going to suffer. I think Seattle's going to have a bit of a transition with Pete Carroll coming in. And St. Louis is St. Louis. They're in an extreme rebuilding mode right now. So I think the 49ers have an inside track to win that division.
I think Cleveland did well for themselves. I think Green Bay did well for themselves. I'm anxious to see what moves Chicago's going to make. They have to show up that wide receiving core. I'm anxious, you know, everybody's anxious to see
and,
a
and here's a message to all the Green Bay fans, all right? Lay off of Ted Thompson, okay? As far as I'm concerned, the man has done a pretty good job. Y'all love Brett Favre, like, you know, he's the second coming. I get that. Okay, I'm not a native Wisconsin. I didn't grow up. I've been here for a long time, but I wasn't born and raised here. So I don't have that love for Brett Favre like some people, where it's like if you cross Brett, then you've committed a sacrilege. Mm-hmm. And for some people, that's what it is, and that's why they hate Ted Thompson. But Thompson did what he had to do. If y'all got two eyeballs in y'all head like God gave you, you can see Aaron Rodgers is a legit quarterback in this.
Oh, legit.
Without a doubt. Can play.
That's right.
And I think Ray said it last week, Brett Favre is a professional athlete. If they say you're going to come into camp and compete for your job, you get paid to compete. Go do what you're supposed to do. They ain't asking him to do nothing outside his contract. They weren't asking him to compete as an offensive lineman. They was asking him to compete as a quarterback. If he's as good as he says supposed to be, he should win the job, no problem.
And I mean, and back when it was all falling out, you know, and rolling out, you know, where they said, you know, we have to play Aaron Rodgers or he's going to be upset. Aaron Rodgers could be upset. That wasn't going to come into play anyway. You know, the best quarterback was going to start that year.
Right.
If it was Brett, he was going to start. So, I mean, that was, you know, there are a lot of Packer fans out there that are angry that Brett Favre might be playing for Minnesota, played for the Jets, blah, blah, blah. But the fact of the matter is when Brett couldn't commit any more than he was able to commit, no NFL team should sit around and wait for that.
Nah.
I mean, you go to the draft, you draft two quarterbacks, and he comes back.
Right.
You don't draft two quarterbacks. You don't have a starting quarterback sitting on your bench. Draft two other quarterbacks and then have somebody come back and tell you they got a hitch.
Right.
You
and,
know?
I mean, sometimes, you know, you have to trust that they see Aaron Rodgers every day. All right? If he's ready, they know he's ready. If he's not ready, they know he's not ready. If he's the only option, then they feel like he's the only option. They
right,
see this cat every day. Why are you questioning? You know, as sports fans, we do that. And that's what makes sport fun is that we like to question. But this was a situation where it was like, and Brent really wasn't, I mean, people want to point to that last year he had in Green Bay where they went 13-3. But the year before that, he didn't have a great season.
Well,
I think he threw like 20-some touchdowns and almost 30 picks.
Not only
I
that,
mean,
he retired. They spent their whole offseason gearing an offense towards a quarterback that was going to be there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, plays were inserted. Rodgers came to every mini camp. He worked all winter long. The Packers, you know, came into that fall, you know, with the idea that this was the offense we were going to run because Brett's not here. Brett didn't call until, you know, 2 weeks before camp started.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost think I want to add a quick thing to this. As I'm listening, y'all, in some ways, now think about it. You know, when most legends like that retire, teams take a long time to bounce back.
Yeah.
In some ways, you got to make a case that this might be the best transition.
Absolutely.
In recent memory.
Yeah, the only one that's been in San Francisco let Montana go.
Yeah, I mean, that one was kind of because everybody had already seen. I wouldn't count that one because everyone, they saw him play at Tampa. They saw Young. They saw that Young was talented. You know, he had played at Tampa, so he had already come with some skills and a record. But nope, in terms of most transitions, you don't know who that next quarterback is going to be, or you don't know a lot about them at all. And they usually take years to recover from. You know, think about people coming after Marino, coming after Elway.
They still looking for quarterbacks.
Still looking for quarterbacks. You know, but if you think about this, not knowing much about a young quarterback. This has got to be one of the smoothest transitions besides the San Francisco one, but you could argue that Young already had a reputation of being a great quarterback from USFL and Tampa. You know, he's already had, you know, he was questioned about whether he could win a Super Bowl. But I think everybody thought he was a good quarterback. But in terms of Rodgers, no one had any evidence or record about what he could be. Everybody knew he was kind of talented. So in some ways, you've got to make a case that this is probably one of the smoothest transitions in a long time.
Yeah,
cause,
I mean, within 3 or 4 years, they're in contention for, you know, they're one of the top contenders in the NFC to compete in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, after 3 or 4 years.
The team I'm excited to see is the Jets. You know, I love my Steelers, so my Steelers, I'm all good, but the Jets and what they might do is something.
I'm excited to see their defense.
Yeah. But
with Cromartie and Revis, and then they drafted I think it was Wilson.
Yeah.
Man, and the way they blitz, if those cats can cover the way they're supposed to be able to cover, that's going to be a heck of a defense, man.
Yeah, it's going
to
be.
And that's what I like to see. I like to see exceptional things. I like to see either a really great offense, like the 2000 Rams, you know, the greatest show on turf. I love to see that, or the Ravens of that era, too,
mm-hmm.
where the defense just shuts people down.
Yeah, yeah. And do you think this is and we didn't even talk about this, but you think what do you think this places someone like Belichick? You know, it's been a while, you know. And they kinda had an injury with Brady and what does this put New England and Belichick and what are you trying to do? Huh?
Well, I don't think you'll ever count Belichick out. As long as they have Brady and Moss, they're a team to contend with. So you know, Belichick is Belichick.
Yeah, I think they need to figure out who's gonna run the ball up there. I mean,
right.
That to me, that's the when they were tough was when they had Corey Dillon back there and he was getting yards and you know when they at least had some semblance of a consistent running game. When you run in Sammy Morris, I mean Sammy Morris is about 35 years old, man.
Yeah.
You know, and he's an ex fullback, so you got a 35-year-old ex fullback as your top option coming out the backfield. That's just, I mean, as a defensive coordinator, I'm like, okay, run. I'm gonna entice you to run. So
yeah, we might have to even do a fantasy edition at some point and break some of the teams out as well. We haven't done that yet. I don't know if we're gonna do that or not. But getting into some of these teams, some of these players, because there's a lot of moving parts in the NFL right now, and getting some of that dust to settle and figuring out, you know, who's gonna do what. You know, that might be something we got to really, really get into there. What do you think about Donovan McNabb in Washington?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I see them as a 9-win team. You know, the defense is going to be solid. The offensive line is shaky at best.
Mm-hmm.
Donovan don't move like he used to.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got a bunch of running backs who 5 years ago you'd love to have had. But I don't know if you want them now.
That's Shanahan right there, boy.
It is. He's
going to have about 9 running backs. Huh?
As soon as he get there. As soon as he get there.
He collecting running backs like, damn, who else you going to get?
Like, he's like that kid. He collects running backs like kids used to collect trading cards. Like, I got Larry Johnson.
But
I got Clint Portis.
But the thing about it, though, somebody's getting 1,000 yards. Somebody's going to get 1,000 yards in Washington this year. Somebody's going to get 1,500 yards. You don't know who it's going to be. And it probably won't be the person that starts that first game.
It's probably going to be Rocky Blyer. You know?
Right. It's going to be some cat that we ain't heard of. They draft a running back in the 6th or 7th round. It's going to be him.
You know, the best thing in Washington right now is Shanahan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what they've been lacking for a long time.
Oh, and speaking of Washington, Haynesworth. What's up with this dude, man? Like, see, again, this is, in my opinion, why there need to be more cats like us in NFL executive positions. Because sometimes you can look at some cats and be like, if he gets some money,
he's
going to fold it up.
He's going to fold it up.
And Haynesworth was one of those dudes, man.
Sure.
I don't understand how GMs keep getting caught up in giving cats money after a contract year.
Haynesworth is like the Daryl Dawkins of football. Daryl hit 30. Don't expect that tomorrow.
That's right.
That's Haynesworth, man. He dominant for that moment, but he ain't, you know, you said 3-4. You mean he do real work? You mean take off double teams?
You mean I got to eat up blockers? Oh, come on, coach. My back hurt.
Yeah.
My back hurt thinking about that, coach. Come on. You asking way too much. Yeah, y'all gave me 21 mil. Yeah, you did. You did. And I appreciate that. But y'all can't be expecting me to come in here and work hard. Come on, now. Y'all did give me 21 mil. Y'all don't want to hurt this investment. You know what I mean? Like, come on, Albert. Earn your money. You took it.
Shanahan is the wrong person. It's, you know, it's just like, I don't understand that, man. And that's what's going to give it all that name when they're giving, you know, you're trying to go into these negotiations. You know, you're going to be doing this whole labor, you know, negotiation, and, you know, that's going to be the poster child.
Yeah.
You know, for all that stuff. So I don't know what's going on.
And the way the contract was structured is that, like, in March, they was like, look, you can go look for a deal somewhere else, all right? And you can become, we avoid your deal, you can become a free agent, and you can go look for a deal somewhere else. You can look for a trade, or you can become a free agent. He looked for a trade. He couldn't find nothing. So in March, he signed on this deal, and he took a $21 million bonus. And that basically locked him in that he was going to be there. But he decided to do that. He made that decision. If he wanted to leave, he could have left. If he was unhappy with the direction they were going, they put the writing on the wall and said, this is what we're going to do. This is who we're going to be. You want to be the if you don't, we let you be a free agent. And he chose to take the money. And then $2,000.
All right, I think we got reconnected. We were a little bit off show for a little bit. Y'all still there, fellas?
Yeah. Okay.
All right. the technology just said, y'all got to get out. Y'all talked about Hainsworth. That's probably Hainsworth's mother.
Hainsworth's mama running the site. Oh, no, they talking about my baby.
Off the air. We got to think it too much. What I wanted to say was quick. I was trying to jump in. What I wanted to say was, you know, what he thinks might be. He might look at the Weather Channel, man, and was like, "It's gonna be hot. I'm big. I'm gonna hold out. I'll come in about week two, and give me a short spread to the season." And so, you know, he might be playing that play right there. Like, you know, I'm gonna come in, but I'm gonna come in as close to the start of the season as I can come in, and make this the short sprint. To it, you know, and that's the game that everybody plays, you know, it's like Brett, you know, like we just talked about Brett, you know, waiting to do that surgery, you know, time up that, you know, not have to participate in all these other things, these, you know, these off-season workouts and all those things, so,
And again, going back to Chris Johnson, Brett is sitting in an offense that he's been in for forever. I mean, that's, you know, if he doesn't show up at camp, you know, you can count on him showing up in shape. He's never come into camp out of shape. So, you know, when he decides what he's going to do. But Johnson, you know, he's sitting out now, and they're just dogging him. They're talking about him like he's, you know, stealing money. And he deserves to get paid. I wouldn't show up.
Oh, that's a different case altogether.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, that makes your organization look petty and cheap, man. Like, this man just balled. I mean, balled out of his mind last year. I mean, carried the team. I mean, yeah, Vince Young came in and had some great games. Vince Young was handing the ball off a lot,
right,
to Johnson. And, you know, they don't even win all those games that they won consecutively without him in the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And to then be like, oh, well, you only worth $400,000.
Well, it got to a point, too, in the season though, where Johnson was, you know, was on the verge of a 2,000-yard season. Everybody in the league knew that. Nobody wanted him to get, you know, 150 yards against him. You know, they were stacking the box. They were trying to do everything they could to stop him. And he was still balling like that.
Yeah.
And he's a young man with pride. He'll come out and do that same thing again this year. All he's asking for is to be paid.
Correct me up what you said off here. He did say that he's missing time with his new coach.
Yeah. That's Fisher. Fisher gets on TV and gets in front of the media, and he's saying, you know, this guy's missing out his mini camp. This guy just ran for 2,000 yards, you know, over 2,000 yards. And the Fisher said something about, well, you know, he missed all this time. He hasn't even met his new running back coach. Hell, yeah, he just ran for 2,000 yards. He didn't meet him then either, you know. If you want to meet me, send him over with my check. I'll make some lemonade. We can sit down, watch a ball game, do whatever you want to do. But don't act like I need him. You know, you brought in a new running back coach. Thank you. But I did get 2,000 plus yards last year, didn't I?
That's like the easiest job in the NFL.
Right.
Run, Chris, run.
Yeah,
for real. Yeah, look how good the job I'm doing as coach of the running backs here in Tennessee. Chris Johnson just had another 2,000-yard season under my watch. Ain't that great? I should get a coach.
I might be a backup quarterback for Peyton Manning.
Right. I mean, I'm not big on players not playing through their contracts unless their contract is so lopsided. Unless the contract, you know, is so wrong, you know, a player should get in there and play the contract out. But $400,000 for a running back like this, you know, you wouldn't. Fish is making that much money.
Yeah, and see, that's where me and you disagree, Ray, because I'm all about the pirate mentality of the NFL. Because I know the ownership is going, like I was saying earlier, if the cat underperforms, then management is going to cut him. You know, the minute, I mean, look at LaDainian Tomlinson. Look at all the work he put in San Diego. As soon as he didn't look like he was what he was, they showed him the door. I mean, you had the Tennessee Titans lock Steve McNair out.
Right.
Like, look, don't come into work today. Oh, wait, I'm getting the day off? No, just don't come back type stuff. And it's like, you know, I'm all for players, especially in the NFL. Your career is really day-to-day. Mm-hmm. You know, in all sports, your career is day-to-day, but more so in the NFL. And if you had a great year last year, and you, even though you may have just signed a deal, get your money when you can get it.
Well, but
get your money out of him when you can get it.
You know, the young man down in Houston, the wide receiver that had
Andre Johnson.
Yeah, had his cousin negotiate the contract. Now he wants more money. Well, Dan, I didn't tell you to bring your cousin to the show. I can understand why you need some money, you know, but, you know, you didn't bring an agent. You brought, you know, Cousin Ralphie in here, and he messed you up. Go yell at him. Go yell at him. Don't be mad at me. It ain't like I ain't paying you.
I can't believe he brought his cousin.
Who was the NBA player that never got an agent?
Oh yeah. I know. I'm blowing a blank. I can't believe it. I know you're talking about.
But at the time, the NBA had a cap.
Yep.
Yeah.
When he got out of that cap situation, then he got an agent.
This is my guy who he played for. He was somewhere for. Then he played for the Bucks for a minute, didn't he?
Right.
What's the big fella? Then went out to Seattle and then had a nervous breakdown. What's the big fella?
Oh, Vin Baker.
Vin never had an agent, did he?
No.
I think it might have been Vin.
I want to say it was like Ray Allen.
Was it Ray Allen? Yeah. Because if you know what you're gonna lock into.
Right.
You know,
somebody had a contract. Somebody had a contract written up. He sent it to Johnny Cochran. he didn't, like, negotiate for him. But he just said, write up the contract. I'll have my lawyer look at it. And he sent it to Johnny Cochran. Johnny Cochran said, sign it. He signed it. But when he got to the point where he could really negotiate a contract, when he got out of that cap range, because all he wanted was the full tender.
Yeah.
He was a full tender player. I can't think of his name. I want to say it was Ray Allen.
It might have been Ray.
You know, I want to say it was Ray Allen. It's like, look, I don't need an agent for this. You know, this isn't, I'm not going to get any more or less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm at the top of my game. They're going to pay me what the, you know, I'm going to get my 3-year contract, and after this 3-year contract.
Well, they let Lyndon White go, and, you know, and so I don't know who they picked up to replace, but, They're gonna sign something. Closer they get to the start of the season, they're going to come up with something for him.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And they may be doing him a favor by having him sit out all these mini camps. Let him rest, you know.
Yeah.
But even giving lip service to that, he's doing the wrong thing. You know, to me, it's just...
The other side of it is that the first time, you know, this is early. This is early in the season, you know. And they have some other fellas, too, that are probably underpaid.
Mm-hmm.
So if you sign him too quick,
yeah,
you know, then somebody else is sitting out, and they might already be there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, and I would say, you know, they might be up front going, you know, it might be Fisher saying to the media, you know, he hasn't been here, hasn't met the coach. But, you know, in a private conversation, he's like, look, rest them knees. Rest them knees. We're going to run you into the ground and shoot. Just stay out for a while.
Absolutely.
I'm in the office talking for you, you know.
Yeah, because Kerry Collins may be back out there if Vince Young gets suspended.
Vince Young is getting suspended.
You think so?
Right now. Vince Young is.
They got him on tape, too.
Yeah.
When the commission can look at the tape and check out the situation for himself, you guaranteed at least two games.
Right. Vince is getting suspended. I mean, there's no two ways around it. The way that the league is run now, you know, there's just too much evidence stacked against it. I mean, they got him on tape.
Yeah.
You know, he can't, you know, he ain't like he can say it wasn't me, you know. I didn't throw that drink on her, you know.
Mm-hmm.
My friend threw the drink. Well, they don't have him on tape. They got Vince on tape. He was throwing punches.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He was in the middle of the skirmish.
And that gives Johnson a little bit more leverage right there as well. Because now the organization's got to figure out the whole quarterback situation. But the running game becomes even more important.
Well,
so he's got some leverage.
Behind closed doors, Fisher's saying they wouldn't go throw the ball that much anyway. You know,
right.
You don't want to see his hands.
Not only is the quarterback situation a bit shaky, I mean, Vince got talent, but he ain't there yet.
Right.
I don't even know who their receivers are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't even know who he would be throwing the ball to other than Chris Johnson.
Well, I don't think it was – I think they're looking for another 2,000 yards. He just needs
I think so. I think they're going to try to get three.
Right.
They're going to try to get three D's out of them.
The other team, it would be interesting if they bounce back and have the same kind of year, Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and can they put 2 years together and – be consistent and play a physical football that they played last year. You know, that's going to be a tough division, particularly with Ben sitting out the games. He's going to sit out, but what Cincinnati might do is going to be interesting. Can they do that again this year?
With House Shoes Benson back there, I mean, Cedric finally took off the house shoes, and when he was in Chicago, he ran like he had on house shoes. I'm sorry. You can't go up that slide into the line of scrimmage, man. You better put your feet in that dirt and cut. But he finally took his house shoes off and decided he's going to come and play some football. Cedric Benson was the type of player when it's certain cats that have those moments where you can tell what type of player they're going to be. And I saw him on draft day when he got drafted. I was watching the draft. And he got picked by the Bears, and his brother started crying. And it wasn't, I'm happy, my dream came true, you know, I worked so hard to get here crying. He was, like, crying because he felt that the process, he was under too much scrutiny throughout the whole draft process.
Sure.
And I'm like, that's what you're crying about on your draft day?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about your mental makeup.
He had problems from day one in Chicago.
Yeah,
he had that prima donna attitude, you know, that, you know, he was going to come in and carry the franchise. And, you know, everybody in Chicago was looking at him like, get your young ass, you know, finish putting your socks on.
Mm-hmm.
We got work to do. You in here talking to Hottie Dottie and everybody about how good you are, you know. We got work to do.
They got, you think about, you know, their offense is, you know, with their tight end play, receivers that they, you know, Cincinnati could have, you know, definitely offensively, you know, they kind of got that defense, they're shoring it up a little bit. It could be interesting to see if they can put back-to-back years together because they need to for that organization.
Do y'all think Carson Palmer gets a pass? I swear, man, I feel like Carson Palmer just goes under the radar, and people assume he's a great quarterback because he looks like he should be a great quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But he hasn't really had two consecutive good years.
No.
And he's been Cordell Stewart, but ain't nobody calling Cordell Stewart a great quarterback.
No, he reminds me of – he does remind me of Aikman, except, you know, he hasn't done anything yet. I think he's a good quarterback.
Yeah.
I just don't think that he's – you know, he hasn't put 2 years together.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if he ever has the opportunity. But again, look at what Cincinnati – Cincinnati's always had different troubles, you know.
Yeah.
You know, receivers getting, you know, suspended and, you know, dying. And, you know, I mean, these things are terrible things to have happen. You know, they haven't had
anything. Dying.
But, yeah, I mean, you fall out of a truck, you go die, you know. That's a terrible thing, you know. Chris Henry was a wonderful receiver.
He was a monster when he was
you know. I mean, they got him for a song. I mean, they drafted him late. You know, if he ever would have put himself, you know, in the right position, who knows what that young man could have done? But how many times he get thrown out?
Yeah, and I think the reason why Palmer gets a pass is because I think that people spend so much time looking at the fact they don't have a GM, they don't have good leadership. So they put so much on the organization. I think that nobody spends time focusing on Palmer.
Yeah.
You know, every bad thing or reaction to Cincinnati is, you know, to the Browns and the lack of vision, leadership, GM. You know, that's what they blame it on rather than, you know, he had a potent offense, he just couldn't lead them.
Right.
You know, and
I just realized? Chris Henry went to West Virginia, right?
Yeah.
Right.
You know, that may have been a 2 to 3 year span where him and Pac-Man Jones was on campus at the same time.
And Vic.
Man, they were probably running around like Tubbs and Crockett.
Oh.
Cocaine and dare and strippers everywhere.
That's Robbie is.
I just thought of that. Like, them cats was in school at the same time, on the same team.
Yeah.
That's a lot of arrests you got to cover up.
That's it. I wanted to. I know we want to also hit a little bit of the baseball coming down the stretch, and we'll probably get into that a little bit more on our, you know, one of our next shows as we get to the closer to the classic, to the All Star weekend. But you know, some interesting stuff happening. You know, this conversation about, you know, Tampa Bay, you know, whether or not they're going to stay where they are. You know, they're doing so well they can't draw people. But this is, you know, everybody thought it was a fluke. But they seem to be pulling it together and still playing at a high level. You know, so there's a number of surprises happening in baseball. So I know we wanted to talk a few minutes about that.
Well, I think it's a shame that they can't draw fans. I mean,
yeah.
To me, this is what makes, for me as somebody who doesn't have a natural affinity for baseball, this is what makes it hard for me to really buy into what Major League Baseball is trying to sell me as a product, because if you're a fan in Milwaukee, if you're a fan in Pittsburgh or Kansas City, I mean, unless you just love baseball, why would you pay attention? Like, I'm not going to pay attention to the Brewers. I know the Brewers have very little chance of actually competing for anything of significance other than possibly a playoff spot. You know, and so why would I go out if you're in Tampa Bay when, yeah, this team is great this year, and the team is doing well this year. It's 162 games. Like, why would I have to be there on a Wednesday afternoon? You know, but then at the same time, this team may not be together next year or 2 years from now, so why should I fall in love with this team now when I know they're going to be gone?
Well, I think one of the challenges they have is just location, and from what I'm understanding, it just is a difficult place to get to. And also, a lot of people are transplants to Florida. You know, I think that's why, you know, sometimes teams in Florida, you think about Atlanta, some of these places that just have a tough time drawing. There's some people are transplants, and they're still fans. Yeah, they're in the sun, the Snowbirds, but they're still fans of their northern teams or what it might be. So I think that's part of it, but it sounds like just that their stadium is not easy to get to, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think one of the things they were trying to – I think they got a deal to 2027 or something like that. they're trying to get back into Tampa. I think they might have a shot if they can get something. You know, they're in St. Pete's right now. So I think that's one of the challenges. But I just think the challenge of having a team like that in Florida, in particular the northern part of Florida, so many people are transplants, man, and they still, you know, from Chicago, but you're still a Cubs fan or a White Sox fan, you know, so you like the team, but you didn't grow up watching them. So
right.
I think that's one of the challenges that they have.
And that's a franchise, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, but, you know, looking at some of the other things happening in baseball, I know, Ray, you got your head deep into it. What are some of the things, who are some of the highlights, what are you seeing in terms of baseball?
Well, I'm liking what Josh Hamilton is doing right now. His battle years he had last year, had his relapse, and you know, had a couple injuries, but he's playing some incredible baseball right now. You know, A-Rod's not. You know, A-Rod's hip is bothering him, and apparently it's not. You know the surgery hip. Something else is going on. Apparently some tendonitis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's players out there that are just, you know, performing crazy. That young kid, Latos, for San Diego,
mm-hmm.
pitched tonight. His pitching has been a little bit up and down, but for a rookie, you know, or a guy that, you know, this is his second year, but I don't think he had many starts last year. You know, they're just incredible stories. You know, the fact that, you know, there's so many good pitchers in the league right now.
Yeah.
You know, they're just dominating these batters. And then you try to figure out what you can attribute that to, you know. I never thought steroids was, you know, that effective for bat speed, but, you know, apparently without it, these batters aren't keeping up. These guys are getting struck out left and right.
But I think what's good about the game is it's becoming more of a speed game. You know, and athleticism, I think, is coming back into the game, which I think in the long run is going to be healthy for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to be a good thing. I like the fact that Ortiz is getting back on. I mean, this is a cat that was taking a hit and couldn't do anything right. He seems to be putting the season together, you know, there in Boston and kind of getting back. You know, McPoppy's just getting this thing back together. And it's good to see someone like that bouncing back. And, you know, Jim Thome, you know, and spot stuff having good, you know, doing well up in Minnesota, you know, and beginning to put his bat together a little bit. And,
you know, then you got guys like Lance Berkman that are not, you know.
Yeah.
Lance Berkman, yeah. I don't, you know, you look at one of the, you know, greatest hitters, you know, of our time, and he's just not right now.
He's down in Houston.
Right.
But what's going on with Houston? Houston was in the mix, huh?
Carlos Lee now is just starting to get his bat going and getting his stuff together. But that's baseball, you know, that's...
Yeah.
I don't watch baseball. You know, it's such a game of averages. You know, it's just like A-Rod.
Yeah.
You know, A-Rod will end the season batting .312, you know, have, you know, 38 home runs, no matter how poorly he does now or how bad his hip is.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's that's what probably draws me away from baseball, because, you know, these guys don't have, you know, it's a game of averages.
Mm-hmm.
You have to realize that only... You know, even the best players are only going to get a hit three times out of, you know, 10 at bats.
That's right. Yeah, they got it, and they, you know, and I think, you know, I know we've been looking at ways of speeding up the game and trying to make it, you know, consumable. But I don't know if you can. I don't know if you can do it. I mean, you just have to get people an appreciation. You got to be some marketing. Other sports. I mean, I think at some one, you know, it might be interesting one night to talk about, you know, are there sports where we need to do contraction? You know,
absolutely.
You know, you know, and baseball might be one of those. Are you know, because that's a good strategic move when you start to get that talent playing together. So there's some things that, you know, that might be an interesting conversation to have.
I agree. I think in a couple of sports. Contraction would be a worthwhile thing to consider.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is there really, I mean, Tampa Bay ain't drawing. Is there really a need for a franchise in Northern Florida?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is there really that much of a need?
Especially a talented franchise that they have, you know. If that,
right.
team was in Milwaukee, there wouldn't be a seat empty.
That's right.
Right.
The stadium would be packed. And so, especially playing in the division that they're playing in, when they're going up against Boston and New York,
yeah,
how can it not be an interest? How is it that those seats aren't being filled? They're playing in, you know, perhaps the toughest division in baseball. So,
right.
You know, that you have to look at that. Major League Baseball has to take a look at where these teams, you know, you have a team up in Seattle that was supposed to do well. They're not really clicking. They actually changed the format of their whole team.
Yeah.
It was a more defensive team, more base hitters, no big power surge. And everybody thought at the beginning of the year that Seattle might be on to something, you know, because they're not going to pay that big home run hitter. They're going to pay for guys that can actually put the ball in play and win them ball games 3-1. But they're not clicking at this point. You know, Bedard isn't back yet. Their pitching isn't where they really needed to be. You know, they tried to come at baseball in a different way, and it hasn't worked. And had it worked, it would be interesting to see what some of these other teams do, especially with like Milwaukee.
Yeah.
You know, do you trade Prince for 2, 3, 4, you know, minor league pitchers that you think are going to turn into something? Because you wonder if baseball won't go that way.
Yeah, I think baseball is at a crossroads. You know, I think baseball is where hockey was 10 years ago.
Sure.
You know, where attendance numbers are down across the league right now. And I think they have to look at, again, the structure of the way they distribute resources.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because, again, I mean, I don't mean to harp on it, but it makes it hard to justify paying attention to a sport where, you know, a good chunk. When you're looking at the American League, you got New York is good every year. Boston is good every year because they pay for good players.
Right.
And then you got Tampa who's making a run. And then you look at a team like Minnesota who's figured some things out and, you know, they found a way to win given that they don't have a lot of money. But not everybody can do that. Not everybody has done that. Not to say they can't, but not everybody has done that. And so you have Kansas City. Why would anybody care about going to the ballpark in Kansas City other than they want to take their kids to a ball game?
Right. But that's the sad thing, you know. Milwaukee has the Brewers have a good farm system, but their farm system is also the Yankees' farm system.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm about to say.
Years, you know, them players end up in Boston or L.A. or in New York. So, you know, they really have to look at revenue sharing. They have to take a page out of the NFL book. The NFL needs to make sure that they don't lose that page. But,
absolutely.
You know, things are, you know, that Boston and L.A. series is a perfect example of what parity in the league is all about. You know, that game seven had the highest rating of any game of basketball since 1998, over 10 years.
Yeah.
And if it weren't for the fact that it was such a close series, that there was nothing, you know, cut and dry about it, that game seven became important. That parity was where it was at. So, you know, all of these sports need to look at that.
Well, hey, fellas, we're moving down here towards the end. I want to give us each of a chance to say last thought about something that last word about something in sports. So, that they want to make before we go off the air. Ray, any last thoughts?
Well, just that, go back to that World Cup game, the U.S. for the goal. The referee withdrew the goal. You know, there was a lot of damage to the U.S. team, but look at the referee, too. That was the pinnacle of his career. He'll never be back in that position again. That's kind of a shame. One mistake shouldn't do that.
That's right.
Yeah.
Marcus?
Greg Monroe, best player in the draft, mark it down, I said it here. He may not win rookie of the year, but I think he's going to have the most impact as a rookie.
Okay, with Greg Monroe, keep it out there. And I want to say, you know, Tiger came one step back to putting himself together. He had, I thought, a decent weekend. I think he's beginning to get used to his life and everything, getting to his flow. I think he's going to have a great British Open. And so we'll see y'all next week. And catch us on Facebook and on Twitter. Until next time, take it easy. Danny was like, whatever you do, don't let it be that daily. Professional AUG, man. And Joe John, bro. Chicago should not be in cap money. You know, they've been talking about Rondo came to Boston. You know, thinking he knew it all. You know, Chicago has nothing. How do you get past that? It's got to be in my contract.